Today's edition of the Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller podcast for the 11th day of March 2019. It's a Wednesday, hump day. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening, tuning in, telling a friend, doing all that good stuff, spreading the word as we do. Oh, it was a big Tuesday, wasn't it? It was a big Tuesday. Democrats pretty much put this thing to bed, I think. Not all the races are settled right now in the states that voted yesterday. There were six of them. But for all intents and purposes, the states where Bernie Sanders did well or won last time are not doing well for him, and he's not winning this time. That, my friends, is what you call a hint that Bernie is, the magic is gone. The older people are surprisingly turning out to vote. That tells me that the Republicans have something to worry about because the Democrats are motivated. We'll get into all of it and more. Plus, Joe Biden has a meltdown towards a voter who dared challenge him. One of the signs of dementia is being quick to anger. You get frustrated because you don't feel as though people are hearing you or listening or getting it. And you get really angry. So we will we'll talk about Joe Biden's little meltdown that he had out on the campaign trail. Not a good time for Joe Biden. Not a good look for Joe Biden. But we have all that. It might be a shorter show than usual just because I need to try and get some sleep. My back has been still acting up because I've been sleeping on the couch because my wife probably has pneumonia. It is not coronavirus. It is a hacking cough that it's just, she's had a chest cold for about a week. And so I've been sleeping on the couch. I tried the guest room, put the bed in there. I feel sorry for any guests that we have. Because our bed is like a marshmallow. It is awesome. I made it. It's a really thick, soft mattress with about 3 or 4 inches of additional memory foam on top. You can barely put sheets around it. It's so thick and so soft and squishy. My dad hates it because he can't get out of it. But the other bed is not so soft, so that's sort of screwing up my back. But she's on the mend. Hopefully in a day or two, I'll be back in there. I do sneak in there for naps during the evening when I can, just to remember what it was like to sleep comfortably. Being 6'5" and sleeping on a couch, not a good thing, not a good look. Anyway, we've got a lot of election results to analyze and what it means to Bernie Sanders. It's not looking good for the Bernie bros. So we'll get to that, but it is Wednesday. That is the day we play the pre-recorded tape of our lovely, lovely sponsor. So here you go. Please patronize them. Joining me on the phone right now is the founder of GetTheTea.com, one of our lovely sponsors, our favorite guy, Ronnie McMullen. How are you, Ronnie?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Derek?
I could not be doing any better if there were two of me. I was just at GetTheTea.com and I noticed that you have a special. You got a big sale going on. You got the super tea. And then there's something that intrigued me. Pine bark extract. Together, it's a great sale. But what, I think most people listening, what is pine bark extract?
Well, it's kind of a hidden gem. Pine bark in a little pill does so much. And let's just go real quickly what it is. It is an antioxidant power, which means it likes to beat up on free radicals. And we've all heard about free radicals and the damage they can do to our eyes, the damage they can do to our brain. So this is one of the top antioxidant powers. The other thing it does is it is vitamin C regeneration. It protects against cataracts. It improves heart health. It improves varicose veins. You think right now this is good enough for me. Wait a second, there's more. It improves blood pressure. It helps with glucose, with diabetes. It improves your memory because it's crossing that blood barrier. How about allergies and asthma, arthritis, fertility, protects skin, wound healing? I mean, this goes crazy. And then, of course, it is really good for your immune system. So everybody should be taking pine bark.
Every time I talk to you, I learn something new, Ronnie. I wonder what you do in an average day and you find this stuff out and you bring it to us. And you can get it all at GetTheTea.com. And you have a special deal for our listeners?
I do. I have a special deal. You get the pine bark and you get the world's best digestive aid, which is the tea. And let me tell you something. The reason it's so good, you can get digestive pills, and that's fine. But when you're dealing with a liquid, it moves so much good. And one of the key ingredients in my tea is milk thistle. And look that up, what it does for your gut. So when you have this something this good, that's a number one American number one digestive aid, and you get the benefits of pine bark extract, all in a deal. And then, of course, then the topper on that is if they say Derek in the coupon code and hit apply, you're going to get free shipping on top of that. You can't beat this deal. And by the way, the pine bark is a 4-month supply. You take one every other day, but you can sneak a little more if you need to.
You can't beat it. You always come up with something great. You always have the greatest information. Ronnie McMullen, GetTheTea.com, our health guru here on the show. Thank you for joining us, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Yes, I love me some Ronnie McMullen and GetTheTea.com. It's my morning breakfast every day. Drink a nice big cup of it. Highly recommend it. Don't forget promo code Derek to let him know you got there and patronize them, as I said. Don't be patronizing about it. So the results are in from Mini Super Tuesday 2 Electric Boogaloo. And it was Biden almost across the board. Now, they're still counting votes out there, so I can't say all the way across the board. But as of this recording, the big one, if Biden ends up losing like Washington or North Dakota, it's not really going to surprise anybody. Or if he ends up losing Idaho, it's not going to really matter. And it was a tap and putt in Mississippi. It was a foregone conclusion in Missouri, but the margin of victory is telling in Missouri, and it was not a foregone conclusion in my birth state of Michigan, where the margin of victory was gigantic, relatively speaking. Back in 2016, Bernie Sanders barely eked out by, I believe, less than a percentage point, a victory in Michigan over Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton Jr. III. This time around, and actually, Michigan kind of saved Bernie's butt. He was kind of petering out at the time. And winning in Michigan, especially a surprise victory in Michigan, when he was down by like 10 percentage points or more in the polls that they had taken, was a huge turnaround. It was a huge blow to the Clinton campaign and a gigantic burst of wind in the sails of the Sanders camp. This time around, it's completely different. It just sucked all the wind out of poor, sweet, nourishing Bernie and his hair and his craziness. Joe Biden, right now, 79% is in. They're expecting the results not to actually be known officially until today in the afternoon. But Bernie Sanders only got about 37-38% of the vote. Joe Biden, 52-53% of the vote. Massive, massive victory for Joe Biden. What's more telling is the turnout was higher than in 2016. Now, you would think with all the hype that 2016 had, the Democrat machine was really pushing Hillary Clinton, desperate to get her the nomination. Plus, they tried the history first female candidate crap that they always pull. It seemed as though that was going to be a big year for Democrats because, you know, Michigan has a lot of colleges. That's where Bernie excels. He did win around Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is where the University of Michigan is. And that carried him over the finish line last time. This time, it barely got him to the starting line. It was a shock considering how much because I put $20 on predictit.com on turnout being lower than 2016. Mostly, I didn't know if it was going to be higher or lower, mostly because it was like 10 cents a share. So I had a big upside if you bet $20 on it. It didn't pay off because I'm horrible at betting. This is why I don't go to casinos. But it was more. It was higher. That tells me that enthusiasm for Democrats, at least as of now, is high in a lot of these states. Now, it's hard to believe that there's actual enthusiasm for Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the Melba Toast of candidates. He doesn't really stand for much. He barely knows where the hell he is. He has no flavor, but he'll keep you alive. You know what I mean? You can eat this. It's a bowl of gruel. Joe Biden is a bowl of gruel. Well, Democrats are hungry for a bowl of gruel because they want to get rid of Donald Trump desperately. Apparently, they despise a booming economy with full employment, and they shall have their revenge. That should concern Republicans because it's not in every state. In a state like Michigan, when you have higher turnout than you did in 2016, it should be a concern. Doesn't matter. You can tell me all about the Republican turnout all you want. Democrats are energized. Republicans have to be as energized or more energized in order to counter that. And I don't know. I don't know. With coronavirus, I suspect this will be done soon. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm not going to predict that for sure, but I suspect that this thing, like the flu season, will sort of peter out. Because right now, actually, there are only 3 cases in all of the continent of Africa, and they're sub-Saharan Africa. They're trying to figure out why. And my question is, do they actually have a regular flu season? Because most of Africa doesn't really suffer winters, certainly not like we have here. And here, winters are the breeding ground for the flu, not the temperature. You can get the flu in the summer, but the close quarters, people being inside and being close to one another here in most of the rest of the world doesn't happen in Africa. So that may be a good sign as far as the possibility that this thing will start to peter out, at least for the summer months, although you should still always wash your hands. Don't worry, you'll have more toilet paper than you'll ever know what to do with, so you've got that going for you. But I find that interesting. So the question is, how does this play out to an end? And actually, before we get into more analysis of the Democratic primary results, I want to play a clip of a panel that CNN had about coronavirus and the election. And it's like the narration of a snuff film. Democrats are gaming, by Democrats, I mean the CNN journalists and panelists, are gaming the coronavirus. It's very interesting and very telling. I don't actually remember there being a Republican on this panel on CNN. Can you imagine a Fox panel with 10 people and not a single liberal represented? You imagine, that's every day on CNN and MSNBC. That is literally every day on CNN and MSNBC. And this panel is no different. There's Axelrod, there's Anderson Cooper, there's Andrew Yang, all the usual suspects are there. And they're talking about how coronavirus can play out come the election in the fall. And they almost sound as though they're hoping that this thing sticks around, that this thing really racks up the body count. Because right now, you're looking at 7 billion people on the planet and a few thousand deaths. That's a rounding error. It's nothing. Again, not downplaying it. If you're elderly or have pre-existing conditions or sickness or whatever, there's reason to be concerned, just like there's reason to be concerned about the flu. But to pretend that this is people dropping in the street is just false. That's the way it's being portrayed by the media, by the way. So listen to this panel and listen to the, just get a sense that they are hoping against hope
that they can find a way to keep this thing going until Donald Trump is defeated.
We've also never seen a situation like this, certainly in modern times, in terms of a potential pandemic influencing the next couple of months in a way that's kind of hard to even imagine. I mean, obviously, there's the difference on healthcare between Sanders and Biden. But if, you know, if hospitals are overwhelmed, if, you know, the military is called in, if
there's
people
no
are
rallies.
Being, you know, triaged in school gymnasiums on respirators or whatever, however bad it may get, and let's hope it doesn't.
Nothing makes you appreciate a functional government like a global pandemic.
Right.
yes, I've always said that.
Yeah, no, that's
no, you're right.
I mean, none of us, there's very few people who have seen what happens when a society, you know, has the potential to really burst at the seams.
Yes. I mean, Biden's argument has been about sort of a return to moral normalcy, but it's also going to begin to look like a return to competence because Republicans have been running the government in sort of an anti-government frame, which is not what you want when you're dealing with a health crisis. And we all know when Joe becomes our president, he's going to bring back many of the Obama alums who are really, really competent and technocratic, and that there's going to be real hunger for that in the days to come among many, many Americans if the coronavirus crisis continues to grow.
Yes, who's politicizing this? Nobody's politicizing coronavirus. Why, that would be wrong to politicize coronavirus. How dare you even suggest that anyone would try to politicize coronavirus, except for, you know, if it happens to be really bad, it's going to help Joe Biden because people are going to want to return to competency if people are... Really? Are we anywhere near... Is anybody anywhere near where people are in school gymnasiums on respirators? Are there even reports out of that out of, say, Italy? Now, China, ground zero, different story, but anywhere else... No, there aren't. But that doesn't, it does, you don't understand. It doesn't have to be happening to scare the hell out of people. As I explained in the toilet paper episode, as it has become known in the emails you guys have sent me yesterday, that you just have to tell people. People are already sort of turned up and their backs are arched, they're ready, they're freaked out, they're scared. And so you throw in that, well, you know, we could end up with gymnasiums filled with people on respirators because the hospital system has collapsed and it's all Trump's fault, for people to really think that. Now, we're months away from the election, so if that and when that doesn't happen, it will be forgotten, long forgotten, but this is the long con through a series of short cons. That's what's really going on here with the media. They know that every day they pull the short con in the objective of the long con. So this is just another sort of brick in the wall of the long con. You could end up laying in the floor of a gymnasium, probably dying, wheezing your last breath. What are you going to do? Those incompetent Republicans and that Trump administration, they're just the worst. That is wildly irresponsible to speculate like this. Who in the hell in their right mind does this? If your story is people are scared, people are worried, you then don't go out there and have this fan fiction about mass death across the country and people dying in school gymnasiums. Unless, of course, your objective is something other than conveying the truth, which we know is the case with these people. It is sick, really, when you get down to it. It is sick because we are already, I mean, we're in a state where there are very few people in this country who have it from a percentage of the population, right? That we know of. There are probably 5 to 10-fold the number of people in this country who've had it and didn't even know they had it, to be perfectly honest with you. So that is, you know, it's still just in the thousands. So you end up with a situation where very few people get this, and you go to a grocery store and you can't find toilet paper. You can't find Purell. You can't find hand soap. If you didn't stock up or you weren't sort of a pack rat who bought while things were on sale like I am, you're SOL, man. Sorry, but it's just too bad for you. That's a panic. there is no rationale for the panic. Now, that's not to say don't be prepared. I always have to put all these qualifiers on it. I think by now you know what I'm talking about. And this isn't radio where somebody just turned on the dial and said, oh, now what does he say? He's just trying to minimize this. No, I'm trying to put it in perspective. I'm trying to keep it in perspective. I would love for people to keep it in perspective. I went to Costco yesterday because I had to pick up some things. And I prefer Costco. Forget what the hell was it I had to buy? I forget. But it was the staples. And like, well, I can buy it in bulk because it's cheaper to buy it from Costco. Still no toilet paper at this Costco. Still, there's still paper towel, which they're now limiting to 2 packages per customer. And they had water, which, you know, they were running out of water last time I was in there. They had a bunch of water, but that too, they were limiting to 2 packs per person, per Costco member, as the signs put it. Per 2 packs per day of water. Now, this is where it gets a little bit insane, because water's still going to run. If people start really getting sick from coronavirus, water will still run. Most of it is automated. What's funny, though, I guarantee you this. As these people are panicking and as they're stocking up on water, I bet you dollars to donuts, they're drinking that water now. I bet you the people with 10 cases in their garage or wherever they store it are drinking the water now. Now, this is supposed to be for an emergency, right? But you got it. It's convenient. It's easy. Why not just use it? That's the sort of mentality that doesn't make any sense. That's what I'm trying to alleviate here. Buy it. Keep it. Have a supply of water just in case, you know, the water main breaks in your neighborhood and you have to go a few days or a week or whatever without water. You can go without showering. It's unpleasant. You're going to stink, but deodorant exists. Let's be honest. You can give yourself what's called a whore bath with a wet washcloth and 1/2 bottle of water in certain areas and let the rest kind of go. It might not be, you know, sexy time for you. Also, you likely have friends, or at least I hope you have friends, who after maybe a few days you say, hey, Bill, can I come over and use your shower? Your water is working. But in the grand scheme of things, the water that you're supposed, that you are stocking up on now is for when the water doesn't work, if that ever happens. And if you're drinking it now, you're doing it wrong. You're just acting out of panic, and you feel better when you get home. Oh, I feel so much better. We have so much water stockpiled. Ooh, you know what? Throw a couple of them in the fridge. Because I'm going to go for a walk later and I want to have nice cold water. But what are you drinking normally? What do you drink normally? Just keep drinking normally. Have some water stored in case the feces hits the fan. But I don't think people are doing that. And it's in large part, if not exclusively from, or almost exclusively from, the mainstream media and panels like this, where they're putting ideas in people's heads of going, you know what, grandma's, we're going to have to go visit grandma in the school gymnasium in her last month. She's at the 3-point line there at the visitor's end, and I'm not sure she's going to make this shot. I'm not sure she's going to sink this basket. So let's go out there and let's watch the 23-second clock dwindle down to 0 on the 3-point line. It is sick. It's wrong. It's disgusting. It wouldn't be tolerated. In fact, it wasn't tolerated during the H1N1 virus. Remember that? It wasn't not tolerated. It didn't happen. It didn't occur to anybody. What was that, 10 years ago about? When tens of thousands, more than 10,000 Americans died. And it was, of course, on Barack Obama's watch. So he saved their souls before they died, and they were all guaranteed entrance into heaven, so people cared much less. But how sick is it that these people are out there doing this? When there was an actual pandemic, the bird flu, that was killing people, killing Americans, many more Americans, and it didn't get 1/10 the coverage of this, and I bet you, like me, barely remember it. Right? I barely remember it. I barely remember the coverage. And I did this for a living back then. I'm not the talking thing, but the paying attention to the news thing. And it just doesn't register. So when you see panels like this, it is sick to sit there and think of what possesses a human being to do this, knowing full well that the audience is buying up toilet paper, buying up bottled water, scared, sitting in their houses. Every time one of them sneezes, they're running to the doctor. Another thing about, God, I didn't mean to go off on the coronavirus again, but another thing that drives me nuts is all of these liberal journalists going, we need more test kits. We need to be able to test more people. We need more of this. We need more of that. Why? Yeah, they're talking about how many test kits are being shipped out, but can you just go to your doctor and get a test done? That's what's really important. No, it's not. No, you got a whole nation that is paranoid about this coronavirus. Then you have a large percentage of that nation that is very susceptible to suggestion. And there's also the hypochondria contingent in the country. So when somebody sneezes, or when somebody feels run down, or like they have the flu, or just gets the flu, they're going to go in the very early stages. You know what? I feel off today. I feel like I might be coming down with something. I'm a little stuck. I want to go. Do I have coronavirus? I need to go get tested. You don't need to go get tested. Especially if you are a healthy person who isn't in your 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s with a 80-year history of smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day. That is who is most impacted by this. Now, if you have high blood, I'm not going to go through all the medical things. You can find them out there for yourselves, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. They're trying to cause a panic. Oh, we need more. We need to be able to test 330 million people. Why? Why? If you have it, what do you do with that information? Honestly, what do you do with that information if you are not in one of the categories that this really whacks and you just feel like you have the flu? Does it matter if you have the flu or you have coronavirus? Both are contagious. You should be staying at home sick if you have either of them. You should be staying at home sick when you're sick. That's what sick days are for. That's the point of being sick or having sick days or even just calling in sick. But knowing isn't going to do you any good. If you're a 35-year-old person who is healthy, who didn't smoke or doesn't smoke or hasn't smoked in 10 years or whatever, you are more than likely going to be fine as long as your immune system isn't otherwise compromised. Knowing that you have coronavirus, is that going to, if you have the flu and not coronavirus, are you going to go to a party this weekend? Are you going to go make out with somebody new this weekend? Are you going to go out and share drinks with your friends while you're sick as hell with the flu? No, at least you shouldn't. You should act like you're sick when you're sick. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to go, don't worry, I've only got the flu. It's the common flu. It's not coronavirus. So let's get busy. Let's get it on. No. You're going to go, well, normally I'd wash my hands because I thought I had coronavirus, but it turns out I don't have coronavirus, so I'm not going to wash my hands. I don't have to wear a coffin to them all day long, but it's only just the flu or the cold or whatever. Knowing in a lot of cases is half the battle, but knowing when there's literally nothing you can do about it except take care of yourself, rest, and try to recover and drink lots of fluids, which is what you should do with the flu, is all you can literally do with this. So let's keep it in perspective. CNN has no incentive to keep it in perspective. The Democratic Party has no incentive to keep it in perspective. But I repeat myself, of course. It's very redundant to cite the Democratic Party and CNN. It's sick. It's really a sickness to have this panel, to have this mentality, to try and scare, to use these terms. It's irresponsible for all the whining, pissing, and moaning that the media does when Donald Trump is trying to downplay this, telling people to, you know, just, he still shakes hands. Jim Acosta today at the press conference with the vice president and the Corona Task Force was asking Vice President Pence whether or not it was appropriate that the president of the United States was still shaking people's hands. Well, if you wash your hands and you don't touch your face, you can shake hands all you want. As long as your hands aren't full of open sores and cuts, Jim, try a lubricant. It's much better on the skin. But, I mean, my God, to hear these people, they are desperate. They are yearning for horrible news because it's horrible news for Trump. Oh, they'll feign it's a shame that this person died or that person died or this, that, and the other thing. But in general, they're hoping to be able to report bad news because it will be reported as bad news for Donald Trump. It's a sickness. There's something really messed up with these people. It really is. Now, speaking of messed up people, let's go to the tape of Joe Biden and the UAW guy up in Michigan. Joe Biden won Michigan, so this didn't hurt him. It happened today, so it doesn't really matter. The votes were already cast. One thing I learned today was that Michigan instituted a change to their voting policy. They made it very, very, very easy to vote absentee. That's part of the reason why we're not going to get the full results until tomorrow afternoon, is most people voted absentee. You used to have to give an excuse as to why you wanted to vote absentee. You at least had to pretend. Now you don't have to pretend. I mean, it could have been a lame excuse, but you had to give an excuse. Now you don't have to give an excuse. It's just, oh, here's your ballot. Go ahead, knock yourself out. So a lot of people had voted early in Michigan. So there were a lot of votes in Michigan for all the also-ran candidates, by the way. This is the problem with early voting. There's no way on God's green earth that these people would have gotten votes had it not been for these stupid early voting. But that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. This is how the things go. So, I think even John Delaney got votes out of Michigan. That's how messed up it is. Like John Delaney. John Delaney dropped out how many years ago? But, yeah, he dropped out. He still gets votes. Andrew Yang got like 1,000 votes out of Michigan. Again, early voting is stupid. Don't early vote. Looking at the results now. Okay. Michael Bloomberg got 56,000 votes. Do you think 56,000 people would have voted for Michael Bloomberg if the whole vote were yesterday? Do you? There's no way in hell they would have. 20,000 people voted for Elizabeth Warren. Now, that's pathetic because Michael Bloomberg dropped out long before Elizabeth Warren. So theoretically, Elizabeth Warren should have had more votes because people had more time to vote while she was still a candidate, and they didn't. That lets you know how bad they are. Pete Buttigieg had 18,000 votes. Amy Klobuchar had 9,000 votes. Andrew Yang had 2,000 votes. Michael Bennett, my God, he dropped out after, what, New Hampshire? He had 1,300 votes. Cory Booker didn't make it to Iowa. He dropped out before Iowa, and he got 635 votes. John Delaney, 390 votes. And bringing up the tail end is Julian Castro with 275. Marianne Williamson got 575 votes, for God's sakes. This is the best argument against early voting you can possibly imagine. By the way, uncommitted, which is an option, uncommitted, 15,442 votes. Why do you go through the process if you're uncommitted? I must register my inability to make a decision. The world must know. I will check that box, and there you have it. I guess that's the only reason I can think of. Congratulations to those people. Anyway, Joe Biden was out campaigning yesterday, and he came across a guy, a union guy, and I know guys like this. I grew up with guys like this. By all rights and reasons, I should be a guy like this. Were it not for an ex-girlfriend of mine who kicked me in the ass one day and said I needed to go to college after years of floundering. But this is everybody I grew up with, except for my best friend, who is a doctor. And he's very interested in the Second Amendment. And he goes after Joe Biden on the issue of the Second Amendment. Now, you're going to hear, this is the best audio version I could find. There are a lot of people standing around with camera phones. So that's the only audio that got picked up. Joe Biden just, he swears at the guy. And at one point, when you hear the union guy say, this is not okay. So I'm going to play, it's like a minute and a half. When you hear the union guy say, this is not okay, Joe Biden is shoving his finger in this guy's face. Joe Biden is pointing at him the whole time, but he's just kind of pointing in general at him. At that point, Biden got a little heated, as dementia patients do when they get flustered, when they don't feel as though people around them are getting them. He's pointing in this guy's face, and this guy says, it's not okay. And you might be able to hear it, you might not. If you listen closely, now that I'm telling you that it's there, you'll probably be able to hear it. Joe Biden invites the guy to step outside. Now, Joe Biden would get his ass kicked by this guy. This guy looks like he's in his 30s. He's a short guy, but he's, you know, looks to be in good shape. I suspect by the weekend we will know everything there is to know about this guy, just like they did to Joe the Plumber. We knew more. We still know more about Joe the Plumber than we know about Barack Obama's life. The media dug into him like you wouldn't believe. Almost immediately, we knew everything. I mean, you know, his name isn't really Joe. He's not really a plumber. You know, he's divorced. You know this, you know that, you know the other thing. They still don't know how Barack Obama got into any of the colleges he got into, the most prestigious universities in the country, and the member of the Choom gang who said he barely went to school and didn't pay attention somehow got into them. But yeah, we know about Joe the Plumber's divorce and his taxes were leaked and everything like that. Disgusting people, the left. So we'll probably know all about this guy, hell, by tomorrow's show. But listen to Joe Biden get really, really pissed. And there's a telling moment where the guy says, you work for me. You know, the president, you always hear these politicians, I work for you. I work for you. This guy throws that back in the face. You work for me. You're I don't work for you. You work for me. What are you getting pissed at me for? Getting pissy with me for? And Joe Biden's, no, I don't work for you. That's his attitude. Liberals just want power. And they want power for their sake. And they want power to wield it over people, to control people and control things. They don't give a damn about the individual. The individual is expendable to the left. So listen to this exchange. This is the whole thing. Like I said, it's about a minute and a half long. I've set it up for you perfectly that you should, your ears should be expecting what you're about to hear, and you should be able to hear it clearly. So here it goes.
These union workers that have been working countless hours under the Trump administration, I'd like you to explain how you plan to not only keep us working, but how you intend on getting the union vote when there is a large portion of the union workers that are gun enthusiasts, and you are actively trying to diminish our Second Amendment right and take away our guns.
You're full of shit.
All right, thank you.
Now, shush. Shush. I support the Second Amendment. Second Amendment, just like right now, if you yell fire, that's not free speech. And from the very beginning, I have a shotgun, I have a 20-gauge, a 12-gauge, my sons hunt. Guess what? You're not allowed to own any weapon. I'm not taking your gun away at all. You need 100 rounds?
So when you were in Beto, no, when you said you're going to take our guns,
I did not say that. That's not true. I did not say that.
It's a viral video.
It's a viral video like the other ones they're putting out that are simply a lie.
Your voice, you said that you're taking the guns.
Well, he just clarified it.
Wait. Take your AR-14s.
Okay, this is not okay.
Hold on. All right.
Don't tell me
that
I'm going to go outside.
There's a lot of guys. A lot of guys want
me, man. I'm not worried. Hold on. Give me a break, man.
Don't be such a
worried
guy.
You're pushing up on me. Hey, there's a lot of
guys. Hey. Look, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Are you able to own a machine gun? I said, are you able to own one? I'm the law.
Machine guns are illegal.
That's right. Slow AR-15 is illegal.
How is that a machine gun?
No, it's not. Yeah, do you need 100 rounds? Do you need 100 rounds?
There are more deaths in America from handguns than there are what you call assault rifles. Why are you advocating for assault rifles when people are dying by handguns?
No. Come on.
That's enough, man. Did you hear Bernie or Biden shush the female staffer that was there trying to calm him down? Shush. Now, you give any Republican shushing any woman anywhere under any circumstances, and the media would collectively crap their pants. Oh, my God. And it's just, it's amazing. He gets an AR-14. Is that better or worse than an AR-15? Does it count up or count down? Which is the level of evilness? Which way does the number go there, Joe? Pointing the finger at the guy. I don't work for you. I'd take you outside. Joe, please take the guy outside. He would beat the ever-loving shit out of you. He would keep you regular. You wouldn't need, Joe, you need Life Change Tea because you're full of shit. This is the Democratic frontrunner. This is the presumptive Democratic nominee. And just so you know how full of crap Joe Biden is, let's get in the Wayback Machine to a week ago when Joe Biden ran down to Texas on Super Tuesday, or the day before Super Tuesday, maybe it was Super Tuesday, I don't know, doesn't matter. Joe Biden sitting in a diner with none other than Beto O'Rourke. Remember Beto O'Rourke? Remember Napoleon Dynamite's illegitimate kid? Beto O'Rourke, are you damn right? I'm going to take your guns, man. I'm going to take your guns. That Beto O'Rourke. This is Joe Biden talking about that Beto O'Rourke. This is what that guy was talking about.
This guy can change the face of what we're dealing with. With regard to guns, assault weapons, with regard to dealing with climate change. And I just want to warn and aim it. If I win, I'm coming for you.
If I win, I'm coming for you. You can change the game on guns. He also at a campaign event that day said that he was going to put Beto in charge of guns for a Biden administration. Mr. Hell yeah, we're coming. You're damn right we're coming for your guns. Now, why would anybody get the impression that Joe Biden wanted to come for their guns after those videos? Of course, that was more than 7 days ago, and Joe Biden is very much like the Drew Barrymore character, apparently, in 51st States. Every day he starts anew with no memory of what happened before. I'm sure he wakes up next to his bed. There's a book that explains what he's doing. I don't know how people with dementia are generally treated, but it strikes me as plausible as anything. But just for fun, let's go a little bit further in the Wayback Machine with Joe Biden talking about guns back in August of last year. And tell me if Joe Biden is calling for confiscating guns or not confiscating guns from American citizens.
Buy an assault weapon that has multiple rounds, or buy an assault weapon that has 100 rounds, even though it may not, you can't point to the fact that it, in fact, had stopped it before. Do you want more of them on the street? Do we want to do that?
So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period.
They should be illegal, period. Bingo. You're damn right. I'm coming for your gun. Now, what is an assault weapon? Well, it's any gun they decide is an assault weapon. The guns that they always name are pretty much basic rifles that just look different. It's basically the design is different. You can count on if Bruce Willis, Sylvester Stallone, or Arnold Schwarzenegger ever carried one or used one in a movie, they're going to want to ban it. It's not machine guns. It's semi-automatic weapons. And just about everything except a single-shot musket is a semi-automatic weapon. Except for, of course, Joe Biden's vaunted double-barrel shotgun. Remember that? I'm not going to dig up the audio of it, but do you remember he's like, no, you don't need a gun. You don't need an AR-15 to protect yourself, or hey, buy a shotgun. Buy a double-barrel shotgun. I tell my wife, if somebody's messing with the house, buy a double-barrel, take the double-barrel shotgun, take it outside, blow off two shots in the air. That'll scare everybody away. I remember thinking at the time, and I said it on my radio show at the time, you blow two shots into the air with a double-barrel shotgun, you have just rendered yourself defenseless, unless you can swing the double-barrel shotgun like a baseball bat, because double-barrel shotgun just holds two shots. You've just emptied it by blasting them both into the air. Maybe Joe Biden has been senile for much longer than we thought. But this is his, I never said that, I would never say, and then, wait, he did say that. He did, and he's getting in bed with Beto O'Rourke, who, you know, is the gun grabber of the Democratic Party. That was basically the entire justification for his campaign, was I will take your guns. Vote for me so I can take your guns. Or actually, it was more like vote for me so I can take other people's guns. So why would this guy in the union shop get the idea that Joe Biden would be coming for and maybe not be the biggest friend of or supporter of the Second Amendment? Can't imagine why anybody would get that impression, can you? We have along those lines and Joe Biden's dementia. Because it was funny because a lot of leftists out there, including a lot of so-called conservatives, David Frum, who's absolutely worthless, he tweeted out, a lot of people think this makes Joe Biden look bad. I think it makes Joe Biden look great. This Joe Biden could take on Donald Trump. You imagine this Joe Biden against Donald Trump? Yeah, he would be destroyed. This Joe Biden would be, any Joe Biden would be destroyed because Joe Biden is 15 different Joe Bidens, and it depends on the particular moment which Joe Biden he happens to be. So, yeah, that Joe Biden, any Joe Biden, would be destroyed by Donald Trump because everything Donald Trump said, Joe Biden said, would immediately be followed up by a tweet with video of Joe Biden saying something like that, and he would be screwed because then he would have the video of Joe Biden denying he said something like that. Matt Lewis, like, this is the Joe Biden we've been waiting for. Look, people keep all kinds of weird things in their spank banks. I don't know what, I always assumed that Matt's was just filled with thoughts of himself, but maybe he's got room in there for Joe Biden chewing out a union guy and getting in his face and saying, you get a, take you outside. I don't know, man, whatever floats your boat. I don't know. But listen to Jake Tapper here, because he makes a good point. Because, by the way, there is, at least as of now, a scheduled Democratic debate for Sunday. And it's just going to be Bernie and Biden. They changed the rules to help Joe. They're not going to have to stand for 2 hours. Joe will be able to sit and walk around because it will be a town hall style. It won't be journalists. It will be the general Democratic public asking staged questions. And if you don't think that the establishment is very good at planting questions at things like this, you haven't been paying attention. But they announced that because of coronavirus, there would be no crowd at the debate. And now there is a push, now that Joe Biden did so well yesterday, there is a push to cancel the debate. James Clyburn, the new god of the Democratic Party, told the NPR station in South Carolina, remember, because he endorsed Joe Biden just before the South Carolina primary, and they say that brought out the black vote for Joe Biden. Oh, James Clyburn, he really saved Joe Biden. Now he's saying that they should cancel this debate, that Joe Biden is the presumptive nominee, and there's really no point to having the debate. So they're circling the wagons around Joe. There's a story that his speeches are being limited to about 7 minutes long because they're thinking, they're hoping, his campaign is hoping that that will lessen the prospect of Biden screwing up, which is entirely possible. But they're afraid that Joe will come out and make another major, major gaffes because he's just an unstable person. So they want to limit Joe Biden, what he can say, what he will say, and they want to eliminate the debates to try and put pressure on Bernie Sanders to drop out. Now, Bernie Sanders rhetorically is strong enough that he would never fall for that. He would demand a debate. He's still in this race, but realistically, Joe Biden is a big pussy. Or not Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders is a big pussy. Career-wise, historically, he's always been a coward and runs away from anybody who stands up to him, saying, well, I don't want to get into a fight about this. I don't want to do this or do that. He has a lot of vitriol for Republicans, but his fellow travelers who aren't true believers, well, he'd make a horrible dictator because all of his dictator heroes have no problem whatsoever with massive purges of their supporters because you gotta keep everybody on their toes. But they want to cancel the debate now. That's going to become a big thing. And what Jake Tapper says here, see, I didn't forget I was leading up to Jake Tapper. What Jake Tapper says here is why they don't want to have a debate, which is a massive disservice to the Democratic voters. They need to know whether or not the guy they're settling for, make no mistake, that's what they're doing with Joe Biden. They need to know if the guy they're settling for has the mental capacity not only to take on Donald Trump, but to just campaign in general. Because that's really the question. It's not a matter of whether or not Joe Biden can take on Donald Trump. It's whether or not Joe Biden can take on a teleprompter. It's whether or not Joe Biden can take on moderate questions from constituents. It's a matter of whether or not Joe Biden can get up there and not embarrass himself and the party and hurt himself down ticket. They're just planning on running on, he's not Donald Trump, vote for him. And then surrounding him, you heard Andrew Yang say, basically, he's going to get the band, he's going to get the Obama band back together. Joe Biden's just going to be a figurehead. He's going to be like the Queen of England. She's got no real power, but she's there for the tourists. Joe Biden can just greet tourists who get tours of the public tours of the White House as they go through. He can sit there and wave at them, and he can hand out hard candies to them or something. But listen to Jake Tapper basically say why Joe Biden's team and the Democratic establishment are going to do everything humanly possible to insulate Joe Biden from any exposure to anything that could be deemed unsafe.
Now, there's going to be a challenge for him, which is that is with a teleprompter prepared, ready. And then there's the other Joe Biden we know who is not always as sure on his feet when it comes to speaking extemporaneously. We've seen glimmers of that in this campaign. And that's going to be the challenge for the Biden campaign going forward.
Yeah, he's not really good on his feet. And we'll find out if he's good on his seat. That's why Democrats are scrambling to try to cancel the debate on Sunday. They don't want Joe to face any sort of challenge whatsoever until they're able to get their team around him, make sure that he's insulated, make sure he's protected. It is going to be, it's going to be Weekend at Bernie's. I mean, I wish there were a better analogy out there, but it is. Joe Biden is just being propped up. He's going through the motions. Then nobody wants to admit it. Don't you love the networks that convene panel after panel of people who wanted to swear up and down, these so-called psychology experts, these, you know, learned people, that Donald Trump is not all there, that Donald Trump is mentally unstable, and that perhaps he needs to be removed from office because there's something wrong with him. These are the very same people who, when push comes to shove, when there's a Democrat, clearly there's something wrong with Joe Biden, that he can't remember basic facts about basic things, including his own life. That is not normal. That is not healthy. That is not good. But they will not entertain the idea. In fact, they will hold panels discussing how conservatives are saying there's something wrong mentally with Joe Biden. Well, you've been saying for 4 years there's something mentally wrong with Donald Trump. Yet there's, if this is something mentally wrong with Donald Trump, 3.5% unemployment, I'll take that six ways from Sunday. Okay? They won't entertain that idea about Joe Biden. You heard Jake kind of sitting there fumbling through his words, making sure he didn't say too much. You can't say too much, Jake. You got to convey the idea, but you can't come out and say it. Oh, you know, these slips and gaffes and things. These aren't gaffes anymore. These are full-blown confusions, shall we say. So they're going to continue to cover for Joe. The Democratic establishment will continue to cover for Joe. And Bernie Sanders is just going to sit there and take being kicked in the groin repeatedly, apparently. Because why? Because why not? He's just a worthless coward. Tucker had a great monologue yesterday about how Bernie Sanders is just an awful revolutionary. He calls himself a revolutionary. Revolutionaries were nut jobs. They were committed to the cause, and they were willing to do anything for the cause, including destroying and blowing up their own team. With Bernie Sanders, no, not so much. He won't even get critical with Joe Biden, because he's a coward. As also, I think he does anything he possibly can to really avoid real work and responsibility. He's just an ideas guy, that Bernie Sanders. Anyway, that I got to get to bed. We're very close to an hour. We're like 55 minutes. So I apologize. I owe you 5 minutes, but I've banked more than 5 minutes in the past. I just got to try and get some sleep and get my back in order and get my wife's hacking cough down. So hopefully all of that will be better by tomorrow, or at least by the weekend. Have a great Wednesday. I'll see you back here on Thursday.
To gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo.